Hello and welcome. I want to talk in this video about the topic of male sexual abuse, the abuse suffered by male adults and also male children, and how the effects of this abuse go largely ignored and untreated, and the repercussions this has on society. When I think of male survivors of sexual abuse, the image that comes to mind is the painting, The Scream, by Edvard Munch. A man locked in a silent scream, isolated and alone. I've been privileged to work with men that are survivors of sexual abuse, and who have found the strength to face experiences and discover their strength as men. These men have gone through a journey of self-acceptance and discovery that many people could never comprehend, in terms of courage and resilience. And what these men experience from society in return is a culture of blaming, denial, judgment, shaming. And for the man that takes the step to seek help and support, he opens himself to re-victimization from those who are essentially trained to help him, or from friends and family. And this can be a prolonged and damaging experience. And we're conditioned to minimize and disregard the sexual abuse of men and boys. Now, going by society's standard of non-acceptance, men should be able to fight back against their assailants. Otherwise, they're not real men. And boys, they should be grateful for having sex with an adult, because, after all, it's a gift. And if they don't enjoy it, well, then they're really just homosexuals. And if a man rapes another man, well, he was definitely a homosexual. And plus, if they had an erection during the rape, then they were willing participants. And females, of course, are incapable of raping a male. And besides, I mean, rape doesn't hurt men the way it hurts women, as men are tougher. Now, plus, men are doing it to other men, so it doesn't really count. And we all know that males who are sexually abused will become abusers themselves. So whatever you do, don't let them near your children. And better yet, let's just lock them all up. That way we'll be safer. And really, out of sight, out of mind. That way, we don't have to look at them. Now this is what male survivors hear every single day. It's like their critics haven't evolved past playing in the sandpit. So this is the mentality they're dealing with. And a teacher or caretaker of a male child, they don't have to use violence to rape that child. They're in a position of authority. They can use threats. They can manipulate. And the same criteria, it extends to adult male victims of female perpetrators. Now, if we see it from the perspective of socialization and gender roles. And this socialization, it plays a large role in how we interpret and define rape. And this goes for perpetrator and victim. And the excuse that if a man has an erection during rape, that he was willing, shows clearly just how blatantly ignorant society is in regards to male sexuality. And abusers, they know this all too well. They can play on a male's shame, increasing his trauma and his isolation. And as for male survivors not suffering as much as females, well, we need to ask, what is more damaging long term? Women have support. The resources, they're just not there for men. And they're from a female-centered perspective. And the belief that if a boy is raped by a male, he's automatically homosexual, is blatant homophobia. You know, sexual orientation, it's complex. And I've worked in the prison environment, and men who are raped are seen then as weak, they're ostracized. And it's the same mentality in society. Yeah, it's projection of an inherent fear. This male is now deemed non-viable, he's damaged goods. And the same perception is rife within the mental health sector. Male clients are subjected to this prejudice constantly. And males who confide in others about their abuse, their treatment then socially and in a therapeutic setting, is one that often views a male as a potential abuser rather than a victim. And this is the biggest fallacy, because the vast overwhelming majority of male survivors do not become abusers. It's an outright lie. And the truth, according to research, is the difference between male victims who go on to abuse and those who don't was that the non-perpetrators confided in people and were taken seriously and were given the proper support. But what do? Instead, we just label young males from the get-go as rapists in waiting, instead of turning the mirror back on society. And the repercussions of this, they're far-reaching. And a boy who's sexually abused by a female adult is not privileged. Now, all it causes is confusion. Now, more often than not, it creates a very angry, very resentful, damaged young man, incapable of forming emotional bonds with others, and in turn prevents him from realizing his potential. And these beliefs, they stop men and boys from speaking out. And in turn, they internalize these messages and see the abuse as their own fault. And denial of abuse is common for males, as is delayed reporting. Now, survivors, they're often terrified that they won't be believed, and they feel shame that they can't stop the abuse, and they're scared that people will find out and judge them. So male victims, they're robbed of a voice because of societal messages. They can't reach out, and this keeps many men from ever speaking out. So they're lost in a silent prison. And many survivors, they continue to have a relationship or maintain contact with their abuser. This is hard for many people to comprehend, but it's very common. Because we all react to trauma differently. And they may even feel affection for their abuser, especially if they're a family member or a family friend or a woman. And of course, they want to re-establish control or convince themselves that this is normal. And with society's perception that men can't be abused, and the potential shaming that could arise, it doesn't really leave many other options. And when physically attacked, during rape, it's a natural reaction to freeze up and to shut down. It's the mind's way of increasing the chances for survival. And fending off an attacker then, it's rendered impossible. And you see this in the animal kingdom. So, all these macho expectations placed on men, they go against natural biological instinct. So no one, whether they're a child or an adult, or regardless of gender, should ever have their initial response to being sexually assaulted questioned. But the only message society gives male survivors is judgment, based on gender roles. And in the therapy field, victimization equals women. Now, mental health professionals, they need to be able to look at therapy through the eyes of the male experience. And socialization, it's just one part. But also, men are socialized not to verbalize their emotions. So a man lacks the capacity and the tools to express them. In therapy, it's rendered redundant, as it's from a female, inherently anti-male perspective. And 9 times out of 10, men start treatment because of an unrelated issue. And really, it's up to the therapist to be able to build the rapport and empower the client, to the point where they're actually wanting to work through their abuse. But the mental health field, it needs a serious overhaul. Now, I've heard horror stories of male clients being told by therapists that it's their own fault, that now you know how it feels for a woman, or that they were somehow complicit in the act, or it wasn't really that bad. Their suffering is dismissed due to their gender. And many men, they feel that every time they disclose details of their assault, that they're being raped all over again. And in many ways they are. Now, they can find themselves emasculated during therapy. They don't speak that language. And there's a great deal of anti-male bias present. So some men, they see this experience as somehow deserving humiliation for them, you know, for not fighting off their abuser. And many male clients find it demeaning to be compared to a woman, and rightfully so. Or they feel like a failure for not being able to think and feel like a woman. And when confronted with this, the female therapist will often recommend a male therapist. But I mean, he went through the same gynocentric training. He's effectively neutered. And oftentimes, I mean, male therapists can be even worse. Now, they've bought into the propaganda that only women are victims and men are perpetrators. So oftentimes, they project their anti-male bias onto the client. I mean, we need to realize that that men who have been abused, they're extremely fragile. Now, I've seen it, a single comment can destroy their self-esteem. And it can send them into a spiral of self-abuse and compulsive behaviors. Now, of course, this is never addressed. And the acting out, it's just deemed as male nature, as perversion or antisocial behavior. But this isn't weakness. It's simply that they've never been given the tools to support them or to work through it. All they've received is shaming and guilt. So we never examine the root cause when it comes to men. And the process for a survivor, it's complex. Now, triggers are everywhere and can be set off very easily. And negative feelings can create a very harsh internal dialogue. And the man may then withdraw and isolate himself. You know, he feels attacked or encroached upon. So now he has to escape from the pain, so he acts out, he self-harms, he self-medicates. He wants to take back his control. But without support or a positive outlet, this self-harming is inevitable. So is the shame and the guilt that accompanies it. And again, this is a cycle that happens in silence. And you may be familiar with Project Unbreakable. It's a very hard-hitting series of images of incredibly brave men holding up boards with the words that their abusers said to them. And some of the messages they read, men can't get raped, or be a man, or I'm really doing this for you, I want you to be a man, or you're a guy, you can't say no to a girl, or boys are supposed to like this. Yet many people that I've spoken to dismiss these photos. And yet society despises child molesters. And yet society does everything it possibly can to enable these predators. And if you look at media depictions, in film and on TV, sex or abuse between males, it's portrayed as shameful. And this in turn, it reinforces societal attitudes and makes it next to impossible for males to effectively heal from their trauma. These movies, they don't show any form of recovery process for male victims. Or they just show the abusers having no effect at all. Now, the only effect shown is a positive one. Now, a boy raped by a female, it's positive. Now he's a man. And again, just like in society, women define what masculinity is. Now, this has to change. And of course, males who are abused by other males in the media, you know, they're portrayed as homosexual or would-be predators. And yes, I mean, statistics, they're very hard to gauge for accuracy in regards to sexual abuse. But many studies, they reflect that males are subjected to sexual abuse from females on equal par to victimization from other males. Now, with the male reluctance to report rape, and with gender socialization, those assault rates by women would be much higher, undoubtedly. You know, women often abuse in ways that are not as obvious, or would not be considered as forcible rape. And combine this with a societal reluctance to see females as perpetrators, and we have an unspoken epidemic. Now just look at the rates of sexual assaults by female custodial officers on male children, and female teachers on male children. So we can't ignore male needs any longer. And by doing so, we aid and abet those who prey on our children. And we shame adult male victims into silence, condemning many to a life of misery. And yes, I mean, many men who have been abused go on to lead very productive lives. But if we as a society can't or refuse to see the signs of abuse in males and don't have the tools to treat them, how can we expect men to have the capacity to treat themselves? How can a male have insight into his own behaviours if all we do is ignore, deflect, and blame? Male survivors, they find their confidence and their trust shattered. And in turn, they find themselves trying to hide all of their pain by avoiding people. But this approach, it leads to isolation, and it handicaps them in many ways developmentally and in regards to enjoying and experiencing life. And they lose out on beneficial relationships. And it makes them very easy targets to being victimized again. And sexual abuse, it is traumatic. But oftentimes, men only arrive at therapy once they realize they are killing themselves, or that they've lost everything. And sexual abuse, it doesn't have to be a death sentence for men. Now, they were the victim. Yet society treats them worse than they do the abuser. The abuser is given all the tools they need by society to manipulate, abuse, and get away with it. And we provide those tools through indifference and gender expectations. And many abusers, they can act with impunity due to this. And if convicted, the abuser is the one that receives intensive group therapy, not the survivor. And males, they're shamed into silence in all walks of life, not just this one area. That this extends to all areas where male disposability and male repression is present. So the shaming has to stop. And it stops by males defining themselves not through the eyes of gender roles or through the eyes of women. Now, men need to forge their own identity, and they're slowly finding their voice. Masculinity, it's the strongest, most positive, creative, loving force there is. And men are warriors. And those men who are awake, they may not be many, but we're growing. And we're the first generation of men to stand up and say, we matter as individuals. And there's no way to diffuse self-awareness. Our eyes are open. Anyway, I want to thank you for your time, and keep on trucking. Thank you.